I would ask you to stand the reading of the reverence of the Word of God. Gospel of St. John, chapter number 12. We're going to read verses 24 through 33 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 24, let's go back to verse 23. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Verse number 27 has been our text for this series, and look at it this morning. The Bible says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come into the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 12, we focused in over the past three services. I know last Sunday Dad filled in for us, but the past two Wednesday nights in this service, we're focusing in on this text. And as we came into this, we focused in the first fold of the message out of John chapter 12 and verse number 32. We looked at that subject, "And I, if I be lifted up." And we looked at that as Christ was signifying something, and I could not be drawn but to that, that Jesus knew how he'd be crucified. Jesus knew that he would be put on a old rugged cross, that he would shed his blood for the remission of sins. We understand that even in before the eons of time, in Christ in his holiness, that he knew that he would suffer on an old rugged tree. And as we look in John chapter 12 and verse number 32, if you read that text, it almost reads off like a question or like a statement. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up." He says there's a possibility that he would be lifted up. It almost presents itself like Brother O'Dane, that there's an option there. He didn't state that, "And when I'm lifted up," he said, "And I, if I be lifted up." He almost presents it as a thought that obtains to you and I. We knew that Jesus was signifying his death. He knew that he was going to die on Calvary. He knew that he would have a crown of thorns planted upon his head. But why in Scripture would he make such a statement that, "And I, if I"? Simplifying it like this: it is our duty to choose whether we'll lift him up or not. It is our personal honesty and our personality that we'll choose to lift Christ up. I'll say this, the more I've made about Jesus, the more I've lifted him up, the more I've seen his power, the more I've seen his glory. I make a choice this morning whether I'll lift up the name of Christ. I make a decision whether I will praise Christ. I make a choice this morning to whether I will lift his name up above every name, above every person, and put him at the center of my service. I was preaching on that subject that Wednesday evening, and something began to happen. And I said, the more I've worshipped him and the more I've lifted him up, the more I've seen him do. And I said, in the past 6 months, I've made it a goal in my house and a goal in my wife and a goal in my family that whatever comes my way, I will brag on the Lord. Whether it's what I want, whether it's in the midst of the storm, I'm still going to glory in God. I'm still going to praise his holy name. Honey, whether it's good news or bad news, I'm going to praise the very name of Jesus. And about that time, I seen a family get up from the back and slide outside, and I thought something had happened. I thought, what's going on? And I just continued to preach on that subject. "And I, if I be lifted up." And about the time of the invitation, I began to pray. I seen that family slip back in the back door. I seen them, Brother Bud, make their way down to an altar, and they begin to stand here. I quit praying, had everybody with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and we slipped over to a bench, and there was a little girl at Rusty's. Little girl slipped up, and she said, "Preacher, I need to be saved." Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you begin to lift up the name of Christ, He will draw all men unto Him. Can I say this to you this morning? There's a lot of things that we can preach. We can preach on how we ought to dress. We can preach about how much money we ought to give. We can preach about what we need to do. I could come in this morning with a whip and I could whip every one of you. But I choose to preach Jesus. I choose to preach and lift His holy name up. Because if I lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him. Can I say this to you this morning? As we came into this past Wednesday night, we focused back a couple of verses over in 1 Samuel 27 when Christ began to talk about the hour. We began to understand that everything is based off of time. Believe it or not, this morning, our being is based off of time. How long we've been alive, how long we've been at work, how long we've done this. Our day is based off a 24-hour time period. Can I say this to you this morning? We give every day, we give 8 hours at least at work. Amen? Sometimes, Rusty, we go to work, but we only give about 2 hours. And sometimes we give a full 8 hours. Our day is based off of time. Right now, some of you are planning what you're going to do today based off of what time you get out of church. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. You say, why is that? The most time, the watch gets used more in a Sunday morning service than it is our time during the week. What time is it? How late are we going to be? Boy, if we get out at 1 o'clock, that preacher preached too long. If we get out at 11:30, he's the best pastor we got. Can I say this to you this morning? Our life is based off of time. We have birthdays every year and we celebrate those birthdays. We lived another year. We base our whole schedule based off of time. The fireworks Wednesday evening, we know what time they're going to start. But you know what the bad part is? Is we don't necessarily know when our time's going to end. That's not within our grasp. We know that we're appointed once for man to die. We know that there's an appointed time. We know that there's a day and time coming when our life is going to cease to exist. And they're going to put a headstone out there that's going to put our starting date and our ending date. But can I say this to you this morning? It's not how well you start in this life, but it's how you finish. Might I say to you this morning, it's not when you was born or when you died that's important. It's what you did with your time between those dates. And can I say this to you this morning? The Apostle Paul wrote us redeeming the time at hand. He said to make full use of the days and the hours that you have. We went back over to the book of Matthew Wednesday night on the subject of taking no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Can I say this to you this morning? I don't have the promise of July the 2nd of 2018. I don't have the promise of July the 4th of 2018. Better yet than that, I don't have the promise of July the 4th of 2019. I may not be here next year at this time, but I want to make the most of the time that I have. I want to make the most of the time that I have in this life that I lift Him up. I don't want my life to be a question if I lifted Him up. I don't want my existence to be whether people knew I was saved or not. I want them to know that I love the Lord. I want them to know that Christ is the center of my home. I want them to know that I'm not ashamed that I love Jesus. I want them to know that I will lift Him up. Amen, brother. But there's some depth that we've hit on both sides. I want you to notice what Christ was saying. He says this, my hour is come. Verse 23, he states the hour is come, meaning his time had come. And verse 27, he cries out and he says, should I say this, basically paraphrasing, Father, save me from this hour. What hour was he speaking about? What hour, Brother Odin, was he referencing? These men had no idea what Christ was referencing. He said, my existence is here. The time of my departure, as the Apostle Paul would have wrote, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that his suffering was come. He asked this question to him. He said, should I ask Father, save me from this hour. We know if we flipped over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus prays and says, Lord, remove this cup from me, but if it be thy will, let me take. He was knew what his existence was. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. I understand in the context he's talking about his crucifixion, and I understand what he was meaning. He was laboring knowing what he was getting ready to bear. But I'll say this to you this much. I do not believe it is born into human nature to want to die. I don't believe that. I believe it is our desire whether you're saved or not. I can say this morning, I'm ready to meet the Lord. But I want to say this, I still got a lot of stuff I want to do. I still got a lot of life I want to live. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I know where I'll spend eternity. Yes, I know when I die that I'll see Jesus, the one that died for me. But I'll say this, it's within my soul. It's within my being. It's within my flesh to want to live. I cannot understand how somebody could get to such a point in their life that death is better than living. I understand that I'm saved. I've heard preachers preach, bless God, if it was my time to die, I'd die right now. Why in the world, if they had a wreck on the way, would they run to the hospital? Why in the world, when they get a cold and they're feeling under the weather and they say, I'm about ready to die, do they run to the doctor and get medicine? They want to live. And Christ knew that this suffering was coming. He knew that even though He was God manifested in the flesh, He knew, Preacher Bud, that the suffering that His body was about to go through. And He said, should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But I want you to notice in the next context of Scripture, He says, for this cause came I unto this hour. Now I want you to understand, when we begin to look at the Scripture in a whole, all it's been about is lifting God up. He was talking about bringing glory on the Father's name. He was talking about bringing glory on His name. He was talking about being glorified. I began to look at that subject, how in the world, listen, how in the world by crucifying Jesus would it bring glory to His name? I looked at that subject, Brother Kenny, and I began to dig, and I could not understand in such turmoil and such heartache and such of all the pain and the agony that He was going through, how could God, how could the Son of God be getting glory in such a time? Can I say this to you this morning? Some of your darkest days, some of the times that you're suffering, some of the times that you're in heartache and agony, and some of the times that you pray and you just don't understand. Preacher, you say, what am I going to do? Can I say to you this morning, you were born to be in this hour. You were born to be in this storm. You were born to face the adversity that you face. There's no doubt in my mind that God placed us at Rhonda Tabernacle over 9 years ago for the fact that we would come into this hour. There's no doubt that in the storms that we have faced, that we were born for a specific purpose. And can I say this to you this morning? Jesus was writing this more than just about Himself. Christ was pinning these things down into John's heart and speaking these words, Brother David, for more depth. Wow, in the world, when He said, and I, if I be lifted up. He knew He was going to be lifted up. Why was He writing about glory and in His name? Brother David, why would He write about giving God glory and talks about such something so horrible? Can I say this to you this morning? Christ was being lifted up on Calvary that we could be born again. But can I say to you this morning, moving into the depth of the message, through our sufferings and through our pain, it is our decision and our choice whether we'll lift Him up. Preacher, I cannot lift Him up. You don't understand what I'm going through. Why would God allow me to face this? Why would God allow my family to go through this? Why would God allow my church to go through this? Why would God, in His love, in His glory, allow me to suffer in such a way so that others could be saved? I want you to notice in verse number 23. He begins to talk about his death. In verse number 24, he gives us a clear of analogy. He said, except a corn or wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I reference back to Brother Mickey Brooks preaching on the river in our men's retreat. He brought an ear of corn, and he brought that corn that was dried out, that was dead, Brother David, and he preached about those kernels on that ear of corn, and he preached about how corn grows. And many of you grow a garden, and you know when you plant that a little piece of corn into the ground and you cover it with dirt, that little ear, that little bitty piece of corn in itself is nothing. I mean, it's died. It's dried out, and it's placed in the ground. It's covered with dirt, and you water it, and you fertilize it. But in that corn's death, look at the ears of corn, and the little pieces of corn that grow off of that. Can I say this to you this morning? Number one, somebody is watching you in your storm. Somebody is watching you in the hour you're in. They're watching to see how you'll react. They're watching to see if you'll get upset. They're watching to see if you're going to get angry. They're watching to see if you'll throw your hands up. I'll tell you this morning, I don't care what you're going through. God's been better to me than I've ever been to Him. And God's blessed me more than I ever deserved. And if the things happen right now that I cannot see and I cannot control, is God still holy? God still deserves our praise. And God still deserves our worship. Honey, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I ain't got. God's been good to me, and I'll lift Him up. Can I say this to you this morning? I choose to worship Him. I choose to worship Him. You say, preacher, this hour I'm in, I have nothing but bad news. Somebody's watching you. Can I say this to you this morning? I have seen people get angry at God. They get so bestrawled and so upset within themselves that they get mad at God, and they cannot understand why God would allow that to happen. I want to say this. There are those watching you. You say, preacher, have you ever had bad news? Sure have. Preacher, have you ever had problems? I sure have. Preacher, have you ever had things that upset you? I sure have. Preacher, have you ever had anything bad enough that you wanted to get mad at God and ask God why? Sure have. Can I say this to you this morning? In my heart, I believe this. There's nothing wrong with asking God why, but there is something wrong with thinking God should answer you. There is something wrong with expecting God to give you an answer. Can I say to you this morning, is God don't owe me an answer? And God don't owe me a promise. And God don't owe me a future. But I'll say this, in the storm that me and my wife is going through, and the valley that we've been going through, Brother Odin, whether I get what I want, whether my prayers answered how I want, I still will worship Him. I'll still stand fast and give Him praise. I'll still give Him glory. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, He's a God that deserves to be lifted up. Amen. Number one, people are watching you. Number two, the devil is out to get you. You say, why is that? There's nothing more the devil wants to do than for you to get upset at God and walk away. Can I say this to you this morning? The devil's not going to bother them who are lost. Those who are outing the world, those who are living in sin, the devil's not going to bother those. He would rather take the one that's serving God. He would rather take the one that's been in the choir. He would rather take the one that's been a Sunday school teacher. He would rather take the one that's been faithful to lift His name up and to take his joy and to set him down on a pew and do nothing and get him out of church. Can I say this to you this morning? Not only are people watching you and the devil's after you, but you can determine the direction of your family by how you react. Can I say this to you this morning? There may be children watching you. I've seen people that get out of church because they're upset with what has happened in their life. I'll say this. If you go back to the book of Job, and we're going to reference there in just a few minutes, and you look in chapter number one and chapter number two, you'll see Job loses everything, but you'll see a statement by his wife. And she simply says this, "Dost thou retain thine integrity?
with everything that's happened, Job, are you still going to retain thine integrity? Are you still not going to charge God? Are you still not going to lay this to God's account? Are you still not going to be angry at Him, Job? Are you not going to walk away from Him? How are you holding it together, Job? And she tells Job, curse God and die. The one that was supposed to be in his corner, the one that was supposed to be his helpmate, the one that was supposed to lift Job up, has simply looked at Job and says, Job, the best thing you can do is throw your hands down on this thing of God. If God loved you, why did He let our children die? Why has everything happened like it has? Job, just get upset and be done with it. Job chose not to. If you'll read through the account of Job, Job had some friends that came over. And you know, I never understood thoroughly what was going on, but yet these three friends were trying to get Job a meant that he had done something. One of our greatest philosophies in the Baptist church that upsets me the most is somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, or somebody has an accident, or something bad goes on for somebody, and the first thing that people begin to suspect is, wonder what kind of sin they're hiding. Wonder what they've been doing. Wonder why that happened to them. You reckon they're not living right? God, listen to me. I'm going to say this. What me and my wife have been going through for quite some time, my parents know, I've not lived for the world. I've not got out and sinned. Brother Bud, I've not done those things. She's not done those things. I don't understand why some things happen. I don't understand why some things go on. But I'll say this. It's not because of sin. It's not because we've done something. I'm telling you some of the things. My dad, that was a Baptist preacher. He was a pastor of a church. He was doing everything he could. He was working, providing for his family. And he got cancer. I couldn't tell you that God Daddy had sinned and deserved to get cancer. I couldn't say that in my heart. Honey, I'm telling you, the first thing in our church is this: what have I done that God would allow this? I want to say this to you this morning. Things happen that is beyond our control. I can't control what's going on in my body. I can't control what I might be diagnosed with. I can't control, Brother Kenny, what may be happening that I don't even have a clue is happening. But I can say this. Is this flesh is going to die. I can't stop it. Whether it's at age 33 or whether it's age 85, I cannot stop it. Can't prevent it. I can't understand why cells divide and split and mutate and cause cancer. I can't understand that. But what I can say this morning is I know whether I live or die, I'm victorious either way. I know who created this flesh. I know who formed it from the dust of the earth. I know who breathed in the nostrils the breath of life and give it a living soul. But I'll say this to you this morning. As you can determine the outcome of your family by sitting down and getting mad at God. Honey, I'm telling you, you might cost your little children. You might cost your grandchildren. Honey, you might cost 4 generations from now when you quit on God, because they may never get born again by watching you. Say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? I believe this morning I'm saying this, and I'm done. Because I may not understand everything. I may not understand why Christ was talking about this hour that's come. But I want to tell you this morning. This is your hour. This is your time. This is your battle. This is your struggle. This is your fight. This is your time that you choose who you'll serve. This is your battle that you're in your life. Honey, you can throw the towel in right now at everything that you've believed in, everything that you've worked for, all the blessings that God's blessed you. You can throw them in the hell holes of this world, or you can choose this morning. I know on the rock where I stand. I know who's fighting in my corner. I know who's the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. I know that this life is a battle. I know who my backup is. I know who's got me in the palm of my hand. I know who's got the words to seal the storm. I know who's got everything under control. And what comes in this life, it's not a question whether I will, but I choose to lift Him up.
That's right. Amen, brother.
You say, preacher, you talking about nailing Him on the cross? No, I'm talking about how good He is. I found in the midst, Brother David, of those dark midnight storms. Brother, I found in the midst of those times that I was worried and I was upset and fear was overwhelming me. I found in those times when I just began to brag on Him, when I just began to talk to Him, when I began just to lift Him up and exalt Him into the higher place and to exalt Him higher than I, when I humbled myself, I seen His glory come in that hour. But you know what's amazing this morning? It's not just one hour. It's not just one time. You see, the sea that we're sailing upon is a Christian, spiritually and figuratively speaking. There's storms right after the next one. And that I found out, the deeper I get in Him, the harder the storms are. The further I go, the stronger the battle. The longer I live and the more I serve Him, the wicker of the world's got. The more I try to do for Him, the more I find setbacks. The harder I try to preach, listen to me, the more I feel like I get kicked. The more I try to live for Him and try to encourage people, the darker my day seems to get. But it's not a question of when or how. The answer is, I will. Say, preacher, you'll lift Him up? Isn't He worthy? Isn't He deserving? In this hour, in this time, I guarantee you this morning, if you look back on every storm, everything that you didn't know why or how, you can see how God's hand guided you. I mean, it could have been so much worse. And I'll just share a little bit with you. I've seen it already one time. My wife was wanting a baby, and she was to the point she never thought it would happen. And then all of a sudden, I'm in Detroit, and she tells me she got pregnant. Y'all got that, didn't you? It was mine. It's still mine. But I was in Detroit, and she tells me she's pregnant when I was up there working, Brother Bud. And the first thing when I call her, and she sent me a picture of that pregnancy test that says she was pregnant, Brother Joe. The first thing she tells me, she says, "We're not telling anybody till we go to the doctor. I don't want you to tell your mom and daddy. I'm not telling mine. And Brother Joel, until we go to the doctor and we confirm this." Well, 2 weeks after that, Brother Bud, we're part of a tent meeting with Maple Springs, and we're sitting down there, and nobody knows except me and her and God. And all of a sudden, she jumps up. She says, "I just thank God I'm pregnant." I'm like, "Well, there goes that window." She claimed it. And you know what happened? Daddy said, "I got to go. I got to get home. I better start calling people because half of our family's here." And he goes, "Why didn't you tell us?" I said, "Well, we, you know, it just happens that way." And you know what? It's been a struggle since then. Nothing more in our family than we want other children. And somebody asked me the other day, and it breaks their heart every time they say, "When are you going to have another one?" We've never done anything to stop not having another one. Preacher, does it upset you? What if y'all aren't able to ever have another baby? I'm still thankful for the one I've got. Amen. Preacher, what if you've never... Preacher, you're to a place... I mean, Brooklyn's 3 years old and you've not done anything. God ain't seen the right one to put in that womb yet. Preacher, what if you can't ever give Brooklyn another little girl? God's got women that don't want them babies, Brother Bud, that need somebody to love on them. Need somebody to care about them, somebody to take them in. Preacher, what if your wife is never able to conceive again? I thank God that He saved my soul. And I thank God for giving me an opportunity to have a 3-year-old little girl. I thank God for the church He's let me pastor. And I thank God for the blessings He's given me. Preacher, what will you do? I'll still worship Him. I'll still praise Him. I'll still give Him glory. Brother Chuck, whether it's on a child or the next paycheck, honey, I'm telling you, I don't care how bad it gets. I will worship God.
Amen, brother.
It's not a question of how or when. The question is, I choose to do it. Don't care how bad it gets, He's a God worthy to be praised. His head are bowed and eyes are closed as Miss Jody comes this morning.